Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want to read to you a few verses beginning with verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Look down at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, and when thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee, beware that thou forget not thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, when thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Drop down to verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you'll guide me as I speak. I want to be a help and a blessing to your people. And today, Lord, we remember those who have died, that we might have the privilege to worship here today in freedom. And we thank you for those that died to give us the truth. We thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus, who died that we might have everlasting life. And we thank you for all those in the military who died to give us the freedoms we enjoy. Now we ask your blessings on all the families represented of all these fallen. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now Israel was told to remember what God had said. All God's commands, his statutes, his teachings unto them, they were to remember. They were not to forget. They were to remember the way in which the Lord had led them. They were to remember what God had done, how God had provided for them. He fed them with manna in the wilderness. He took care of them. Thirdly, they were to remember where God brought them from. They were in Egypt in bondage, crying out to God for deliverance, because a Pharaoh had arisen to power who knew not Joseph. He didn't know what Israel had done for Egypt, and he didn't care, and he made them slaves and forced them to work with rigor and labor and put taskmasters over them. And they cried out to God. And quite often that's what it takes before people will humble themselves and cry out to God as they should. Because of that, God raised up a deliverer, Moses, who was to be the likeness of the Savior to them and the deliverer to them. So we're to remember where God brought them from, and we should remember where God has brought us from when we lived in sin and we were headed to destruction and we're on our way to hell, and Christ died in our place and gives us everlasting life and freedom from our sins. Remember when they become prosperous, not to forget God. You make a note of this. We won't turn there. Romans 15:4. Whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. God's example of Israel and all that he dealt with them is an example to us, and it is for our benefit. Turn over with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 4. 2 Samuel 1 verse 4. David becomes king of Israel, but there's a process. At least 7 years he ran from Saul rather than take the throne away from him, even though as a young man he had been anointed to be the king of Israel, and God was displeased with Saul. and was going to take the kingdom from him because of his disobedience. And so Samuel the prophet anointed David to be king of Israel. But David waited for the Lord to remove Saul instead of him doing that himself. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4, David said unto them, "How went the matter? I pray thee tell me." And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. David learns while he was away in battle that Saul, the king of Israel, and Jonathan his son, and the Bible tells us actually there were three sons of Saul that were all killed with their father in the battle with the Philistines. And David loved Jonathan. And he learns that Jonathan was killed in battle. Jonathan loved David and gave him his armor, his bow and his arrows. And he had an understanding that David was going to be king one day. And he preserved David from his own father and warned David so he would not be killed by Saul. Verse number 17, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. This is what he wrote of Saul and Jonathan. "The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty." Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. "Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished." Now David lamented over learning of the death of Saul and Jonathan, even after the way Saul had treated him. David respected him as the anointed king of Israel, And he lamented over their death. They represented the nation as well as themselves. It is not wrong to weep over our loved ones when they die. It is not wrong to have a lamentation over our fallen heroes who die for our freedoms and for our cause. How are the mighty fallen? How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle and the weapons of war perished? Saul and Jonathan had king's armor, king's swords, king's bows, and king's arrows. They had the best of what could be provided unto them, but now the enemy has taken these things from them. We celebrate this weekend Memorial Day. In 1968, the government voted that this would be a federal holiday on Monday, which originally was at the end of May, called Decoration Day, a time where we would decorate the graves of those who have died who served in the military. You know the story behind it. The northern general who saw southern women decorating the graves of the Civil War soldiers who had died, and he was moved to do something about this and calls for both North and South and for Arlington Cemetery to have decorations placed and for there to be a memorial time. In 1915, Mona Michael wrote, "We cherish too the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seemed to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." And became from that the selling of poppies on Veterans Day, and the money to go for veterans' causes and for the children of veterans' causes. Billy Sunday was a boy who was raised in an orphanage for the Civil War dead. His father was killed in the Civil War. There was no aid like we have today, no Social Security or any of those things. And his mother was sickly and could not take care of him and his brother. She sent them to a home for orphans, for those who died in the Civil War. And you know, Billy Sunday became a great and fiery evangelist after a successful career as a baseball player. This weekend, 1,200 troops will place flags at Arlington. Boys and Girl Scouts will put candles on the graves at Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania, some 15,000 graves, to remember the fallen. After World War I, England buried the remains of an unknown soldier in Westminster Abbey. The French thought this was a good idea, and so they soon found the remains of one of theirs, and he was buried in the Arc de Triomphe in 1921. After that, the U.S. Congress was moved to do the same, and at the plaza of the new amphitheater, they created the tomb of the unknown soldier. It is written there, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." The west of this monument, the World War I tomb, the deceased remains was picked out by a decorated Army sergeant who was still in the foreign theater. They brought several caskets and he picked from those, and they sent those remains back to be placed in the tomb. World War II memorial is north of that, the Korean South, and between them there was a crypt which once held the remains of the Vietnam veteran that was unknown. But Vietnam is much later date than World War I and World War II in Korea, and they've come up with DNA testing. And they tested the remains in 1998 and found them to be First Lieutenant Michael Blassie, who was shot down in Vietnam, and they returned his remains to his family. And so then they turned the Vietnam Memorial into a memorial for the MIAs, Missing in Action, to remind us not only of the tomb of the unknowns, but also of the unknowns that are still missing. The unknowns after World War I were chosen by men who were decorated with the Medal of Honor. And in the Vietnam case, Marine Sergeant Major Alan J. Kellogg was chosen, who received the Medal of Honor, to pick out the remains of First Lieutenant Blassie that they later identified. Marine Sergeant Gunny Kellogg served in 1st Marine Division, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines on a joint operation with the 7th Marine Regiment in Quang Nong Province when I was wounded and medevaced. A few days later, he was rescuing a wounded comrade with a small group, and the enemy lay in ambush. A grenade bounced off his chest, and he stomped it into the mud and fell on it, and it blew him up. But even wounded, he continued to direct the men until they were rescued and medevaced. He's alive, and they gave him the Medal of Honor, and he stayed in the Marine Corps and became Sergeant Major, and he was honored by picking out the remains. That happened on March the 11th, 1970, and I was wounded March the 1st, 1970, on a joint operation from Hotel 27 in the 7th Marine Regiment. The soldiers of the 3rd Infantry Regiment volunteer to be the guards for the tomb of the unknown. With rifle on their shoulder, they walked 21 steps. They turned, switched the rifle shoulders, faced the tomb for 21 seconds, and then walked back with the rifle on the outer shoulder away from the tomb. And they wait 21 seconds, and then they repeat the process until they're relieved of their command. This has gone on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since 1937. The 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment houses the men and now women who serve in this capacity. General Logan was the northern general who is credited with the beginning of Memorial Day. And he wrote about Arlington, "Let no neglect, no ravages of time, testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic." Like David, he's saying, "Remember the mighty who are fallen in the midst of the battle." I ask you, both spiritually and for America's cause, who'll take up their banner? Who'll champion their cause? Who'll stand where they stood and do what they did to give us the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy? Monday, 3 o'clock. Take a moment to remember and respect those who are fallen in the midst of the battle. David remembered with this writing of a beautiful expression calling for the mountains and the hills and the rain not to come and for the enemy not to know. And he told about how beautiful they were in their championing of the cause. Whether it's for the nation of Israel or America or Christianity, there's a cause that we champion. When David stood against Goliath, he asked that question of his brothers, "Is there not a cause for me to do this?" And there is a cause for you to fight, a cause for you to devote yourself to. In 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 19, "The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Valiant men arose." If you go back a page to 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse number 11, the Bible says these men of Jabesh Gilead heard what the enemy had done to Saul and his three sons and how they beheaded Saul, and they nailed him to a wall and they put all of his armament in their idols' houses as a triumph they were showing to their idols. 1 Samuel 31:11, "And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted for 7 days." The memorial of what they could do, these mighty men of valor, to go all night is hard enough. To go by foot across territory, to bring these bodies back, and then to fast for 7 days, they dedicated themselves with a commitment that is rarely seen. In 2 Samuel 2 and verse number 4, what happened next? "The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent a word of blessing to these men for what they had done." David was anointed as a young man keeping his father's sheep as king of Israel. Now he's anointed by his tribe of people, Judah, to be the king over Judah because the kingdom is divided. There are 12 tribes, and Judah is a very large tribe, and it was divided from the other tribes because of Saul and because of David. Secondly today, look at chapter 9 with me. 2 Samuel chapter 9. David remembers Jonathan's house. David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him a kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He's remembering the fallen. He wants to do something. He wants to make a commitment. He wants to make a sacrifice. He wants to do something that cost him something to feel better about those he loved who are fallen in the midst of the battle. And they said, "There's one child of Jonathan that is left, and he's lame." The Bible tells us what happened in 2 Samuel 4 when the nurse heard that Saul and Jonathan and the sons were killed by the Philistines, that she grabbed up this boy, Mephibosheth, and ran with him to protect him from being killed, and she fell, and his legs were broken, and he was crippled from that day forward. You know, there's a comparison there to the fact that we were crippled by the fall of sin of Adam and Eve. And when Mephibosheth was called before David, he said, "I am but a dead dog. What is it that my king would have of me? I am thy servant." My friend, if we could really see ourselves before the holy God that we worship, we'd fall on our face and say, "We are but a worthless dog in thy sight. What is it that we can do for thee? We are thy servant." And David restored unto him all of the land that belonged to Saul, and restored unto him his servants. But Mephibosheth himself, he brought into his household to sit at the king's table and eat with the king's family, just like he was a child of the king. Is not that what God hath done for you and me in saving us and cleansing us and making us a part of his family and giving us a reward for our service and being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, inheritor of everything? We share with him because we have believed upon him and worship him. A revelation of the grace and the mercy that God has showed the King of Kings, who hath done what he can to redeem man who is willing to believe. Now God desires to show himself gracious and merciful toward us, toward all who believe. It is not that we have earned the right to be his child. It is not that we deserve this in any way. Regardless of our moral behavior before we were saved, we were under the sentence of death, condemned. Because one man sinned, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has made us a part of his family, and one day we'll sit at the king's table and we'll eat with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thirdly, David was eventually anointed king of all Israel. The third time he was anointed to be the king. He united the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes together, and he ruled as a good and godly king over them. If you read the whole life of David, you learn very quickly he was not a perfect man. He made errors and failures. When you read Psalm 51, you see him repenting of his sin and confessing his sin to God and finding forgiveness and restoration. David practiced judgment and justice for the nation of Israel. Isn't that what we want in America today? Justice and rightful judgment. We want justice for all, but we want the same justice for all. Well, the more the media digs up and reveals about all the crooked politics that's gone on in the last years, it just disgusts me beyond measure. We've seen Supreme Court judges promise with a vow to support the Constitution. President's vow to support the Constitution. I just want them to be true to the oath that they take and to support and defend the Constitution, because the Constitution was based upon Judeo-Christian principles that our nation was founded upon. It should not be ruled by activist judges like the Ninth District Circuit Court with a homosexual agenda and a liberal political agenda who would block the president's ban on travel to keep us safe from some who would destroy us. And they block this for a political statement to show that they can do it by having a judge who will step beyond his powers and beyond what is right. That pendulum has swung so far in the last 15 or 20 years that the people of America have elected a president who is far from what we would have chosen and wanted. But he was one who stood up and said he'd do something about the problems that we're facing in the world today. And so he was overwhelmingly elected because the people grew weary with the extreme of where our politics has gone. Turn with me to the Psalms, if you would. I remind you that you can't separate the Bible from politics. In Psalm 33... and verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spake and it was done, He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Verse 12, Psalm 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. In Psalm 127, verse 1 through 5, the Bible tells us, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. In Psalm 50 and verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sitteth and speaketh against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there are none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Acts chapter 10, I'll leave out some things here. In Acts chapter 10, Peter spoke his sermon. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every place he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted of Him. You see, America is not Israel, but America is a people that have turned to the Lord. We have produced righteousness, but our nation today is getting like the nation of Israel did in Isaiah's day. We are religious without being righteous. Churches dot our land, but does it affect the way people live their daily lives? Today, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. But the courts of our land have overruled the Bible and passed laws that would allow sin and be in favor of it. God's call to a rebellious nation of Israel is the call to any nation, and that is to repent of our sin and turn to the Lord and confess our ways unto Him. And He said in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God can cleanse us and forgive us, and let us practice justice and righteousness for all. Remember the fallen in the midst of the battle. Remember, God told Israel to remember what He said to them, His commandments, and the way He led them. Secondly, remember what God has done for you. He fed them with manna. He has provided for us. He gave us the ability to get wealth. Remember where God brought you from, where you could be today. And remember, when we become prosperous, not to forget God and to honor and worship Him. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed. Father, we love You, we praise You, we offer You this invitational time. We pray that You'll deal with our hearts in accordance with Thy Word and Thy Spirit. And Lord, that You might receive praise, honor, and glory from any results that take place. If there's someone here without Christ as Savior, we pray for them that You'll speak to their heart. Help them see their need and help them know we can take the Bible and show them how to be saved. And we desire to do that today in Jesus' name. Bless Your people, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.